Well, I want to thank both of you for joining us today. We are speaking with two guests about the new book, Learning and Teaching While White, Anti-Racist Strategies for School Communities. Authors here are Jenna Chandler Ward and Elizabeth Denevi. And we should probably start with a little backdrop here. Both of you got together, you're both white school teachers, and you decided to write a book about anti-racism. What exactly was the starting point for both of you?
Well, I think the first thing we wanted to do was write the book that we would have wanted to have as we started our teaching careers. So really create something that we could put in the hands of teachers, leaders, parents in the community to really have strategies and really talking points and ways for connection around how to be aware of how racial bias can show up. And we really felt like we oftentimes as teachers, you know, we see ourselves as good people and we wanted to do the right thing. And the idea that we might be doing things in our classroom that potentially could be impacting our students of color differently than our white students was really hard for us. And so we wanted to create something that we could share with other white teachers, help them understand how policies and procedures and practices work that sometimes set us up in ways that we're not aware. So it was really for us to try to get better at our job and then to be able to help other teachers, administrators, and parents be better at having these conversations about race.
So when you two got together and you were talking about strategies or how to write this book, did you have conversations with other educators about how exactly to frame anti-racism? Were you talking to Black educators as well of how they frame the perspective?
Yeah, we've been working with educators of color. We both have been to many, you know, hours and hours of professional development and conferences, and we were trying to figure out what are best practices. And we started by putting together a blog and a podcast and talking to educators around the country. What are best practices? What are people doing? How are they talking about this in their classroom? What's working and what's not? So we definitely are in conversation always with educators of color. That's super important and informs our work. But what has happened also is that educators of color said, we're tired and all of this work is falling on our shoulders. So we need more white people at the table working with white people because over 84% of our teachers are white. And so there's a lot of work to do. So we always work in community and principled partnership with folks of color. But our job is to be white people talking to other white people.
Well, I guess the question becomes, how exactly can one identify their own self-bias? Is that possible? Can you discover what biases you have without having conversations with other people?
Well, I think as Jenna was describing, we're always in conversation with other people. And the goal of any work to end racism is to have cross-racial solidarity, right? It's racism is a huge system set up before any of us, sort of walked into the room. And so I think we're always in conversation. Yes, the good news is there are really effective and really critical ways that we can look at our own practice and we can check ourselves for our bias. Sometimes that has to do with having colleagues observe us. And so we have observational protocols and ways of saying how we can support each other. There's ways that we can record ourselves, watch our own behavior. We can look through take sort of data on our own classrooms, on our assessment practices, on who's showing up in our curriculum, who's succeeding in our schools and who are not. So we have lots of strategies for different data, evidence, collegial work, and then just straight up, what do I need to know more about, right? There's really great research out there that often happens at the higher ed level that then K-12 teachers are not aware of. There's also a lot of higher ed teachers who are content specialists, so they really know their subject matter, but they haven't talked a lot about their teaching practices and how they could be unintentionally. They don't wake up in the morning and say, who can I be racist towards? But things may be happening because of the larger context that we all have been raised in. So I think it's a both and, the connection. And the good news is there's lots of things we can do to improve our practice.
Speaking with Jenna Chandler Ward and Elizabeth Denevi about their new book, Learning and Teaching While White, Anti-Racist Strategies for School Communities. There is a counter argument that maybe you have already thought about before, but What about the risk of public education creating a wedge between parents and educators? Why is part of the onus on public educators, such as yourselves, to combat anti-racism in the classroom?
Well, it's coming into the classroom every day, whether or not we acknowledge it or we don't, right? So students are aware of it happening in their own lives. They see it on social media. They see the news. It's walking into the room every time we encounter difference with other students, with other faculty, and we have a reaction maybe to what's being taught based on who's teaching it. So it's always there. It's just whether or not we acknowledge it or not. And so what we're trying to do is equip educators and students with language and framework to get good information so that when we are silent, first of all, that communicates that something bad is happening, right? We don't talk about things that are shameful and are scary. We have been taught that telling the truth will cause harm, but actually, truth is what sets us free, to be kind of a cliche there, but we need to be giving the tools. So not to give students a form about what they should think, but give them the tools they need to figure out how to think about it. And in the absence of those discussions and giving kids and adults opportunities to have the discussions, we fall back on what's available to us, which is stereotypes and negative messages, bad information in the media. And so just like any other subject where we want to equip our kids with tools, that's what we're trying to do here.
Well, and the classroom is basically, to paraphrase, a microcosm of the country at large. So when you are confronting all these different belief systems that are in the classroom, you are modeling behavior for children out in the real world.
Absolutely. And I think it's important, too, that we have the chance to work with white students across the country. And we ask them about how conversations about race come up in the classroom. And they will either say generally they don't come up, or any time they come up, it's usually around very important critical subjects like enslavement in this country. But they just get the message that white people were the oppressors, and that's what they did. And we're often not giving them images of, yes, the white people were the oppressors, but there were also a lot of white people working with people of color to challenge enslavement. Of course, people of color have always been fighting to end racism, but we don't often show them models of people who look like them working in collaboration. So I think it is important for white educators to model for white students, what does it look like to speak up when we hear racial stereotypes? How do we do that in a way that is engaging, that brings people in? How do we have these conversations and stay in community? Because schools are perfect for this. This is where people come to learn, right? They come to learn new things. And teachers keep telling us how much this work is helping them. They want to give children good information. They want to support them. And they feel so much better. They feel empowered when they feel like they can have these conversations in responsible, authentic, age-appropriate ways that brings children in, that can help them reconcile the history in this country with their own identity. And most important, what do they want to do to make it better? Kids are so great, and they want to know, don't tell me about a problem that I can't fix. And I think the book has really been helping educators be able to equip white children and, of course, all students to be able to be better, to learn from the past and be able to heal some of the things that have happened and move into a future where I think things will be better.
It seems that a common argument coming up is, why should public education be talking about this subject or that subject? And just looking at sexual health being taught in schools, schools and students that do have sexual health education tend to have lower rates of STDs. They tend to have safer and healthier relationships. So there is a positive to talking about these difficult subjects that may not be done in the home.
Yeah, that's exactly the metaphor I would use. When we aren't talking about racism, it doesn't mean that racism isn't happening. So how do we want our kids to be equipped? Because we can't be with them 24 hours a day. In the same way we want our kids to be equipped with good sexual health information, we want them to be able to have the tools they need to navigate a diverse world, a diverse classroom, right? So just crossing our fingers and hope they don't hear the bad stuff or that they feel guilty so we shouldn't teach them is you know, is akin to saying if we teach kids about sex, then all of a sudden they're going to become sex addicts or something like that. So giving kids what they need. And it's been proven again and again in the research that talking about race, naming race and racism helps kids be better learners. And so that's what we want to do.
Speaking with the two authors behind the book, Learning and Teaching While White, Anti-Racist Strategies for School Communities, Jenna Chandler Ward and Elizabeth Denevi. And I guess there's one other question that comes to mind, is that now in this era of political ping pong, buzzword pinata seems to be the game that everyone loves to play, and critical race theory got quite a bit of bashing over the last year. What exactly is critical race theory, and why is it important for students to be aware of its meaning?
Such a great question. So critical race theory came from a group of legal scholars, actually from the 1980s. So actually it's been around for a long time, even though a lot of folks, it may be a new term to them. But it wanted to try to figure out, given that we went through the civil rights movement in this country, why were there still so many social disparities between racial groups? And not just in education, but in health outcomes, income levels, educational levels, you name it. And so there was something else going on. And critical race theory helps point to policies and practices that may lead to those disparities. And without critical race theory, basically what we're saying is that there's something deficient or something wrong with people of color, which of course we know is not true, right? That's biological racism. We know that your skin color is not a determinant biologically of whether you're an able person or not. But without critical race theory, we're left just to blame people of color, which just keeps racism going. So I think this notion of it really just describes race as something bigger than just sort of individual acts and individual groups of people acting in a particular way, and has us look at a bigger level. So we find in working especially with white students that when they understand that there is this bigger swirling system of things that have happened over history, decisions have been made, laws that have been passed, they feel actually less guilt and shame because they know it, you know, they didn't do it, they didn't create it, and then they can be accountable to sort of shift their behavior and say, okay, what can I do to start to take apart some of these things that are really unfair and shouldn't be in existence? How can I get better at that? So I think we've come in this country to say talking about critical race theory equals talking about race, and actually that's not really true. But I think it's been an effective argument because a lot of white people, and I've been there, really uncomfortable talking about race. They see themselves as good people. They think of racism as horrible, violent acts that are created by, you know, people who are just against all people of color. And certainly that happens. But the vast majority of the way that racism gets perpetuated, right, is through policies, practices, and laws that people have made. So how do I both see myself as a good person and know there's a lot of work we have to do to still eliminate racial disparities?
And I suppose that CTR theory in schools now, I mean, taking in the national conversation about critical race theory and how different parties are using words to bash each other around with it, it also provides a stunning classroom example of how language is used and distorted for one's own political means.
Right. And really what's underneath it all is this real fear, right? Because if we teach children accurately about how racism works, well, they actually might end it. And if they end it, it's going to shift some power balances. And for some folks who see themselves in power and have been able to access power via unfair means, well, sure, I don't want to give that up, right? So best defense is a good offense, right? And so I feel like folks wanting to come forward. And I think when we, for those of us who want to do the right thing, who want to raise these conversations, when we hear white folks sort of throwing things out, oh, critical race theory, it's shaming and blaming white kids, I want every white person in America to be aware of, well, actually, let's talk more about that. What do you mean shaming and blaming? In our experience, white kids, they feel bad about racism. When they learn about things that have happened, they're seeing them in different places. We just had a group of kids that was watching a video on TikTok that was about the internment of Asian American people on the West Coast. And they said, we didn't know this happened. This is so unfair, right? They saw it out in the media. They feel bad about that. And if we don't then weigh in and say, great, so this is what happened. I'm glad you're aware of what happened. Have you seen anything like that today? And what are some steps that you could take? What would this mean for you? What are some things we could do to start to address, you know, those ongoing inequalities? I think we get scared when certain, especially if it's somebody of a different political background, is heated and frustrated and is saying this critical race theory thing is just, you know, shaming and blaming white kids or kids. Oftentimes is all they say. What I really think they mean is white kids. And I also think, you know what, children of color are very aware of these things happening. Families of color know this is happening. They're talking about it. So I think we have to be willing to pose questions, to stand in our integrity, and to be in conversation and community with other white people to talk through this, because they're going to be sound bites unless we're willing to engage in dialogue. And we think the book can really help white folks engage other white folks to have meaningful conversations. So it's not the sort of what you said, sort of that political back and forth, you know, you're racist. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Hmm. We actually can have a more nuanced and complex conversation that children are able and eager to have.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Like, I remember having intellectual discussions about what racism is, but then I'm with my buddy who has an Arabic complexion and walking out one night and suddenly realizing what racism actually looks like in the real world. And that's when it really starts to have an emotional feel, like, how am I perpetuating this? I can't believe this is still going on today. This book is incredible, Learning and Teaching While White, Anti-Racist Strategies for School Communities. Thank you both for joining us. Where can people go for more information online to find other strategies and how to continue the conversation?
We have a website at teachingwhilewhite.org, where we have a podcast and a blog. There's also links to the book, which was published on Norton, but is available anywhere books are sold. And check out the website for more information.
Well, Jenna and Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us.
Great. Thank you for having us.
Take care. Jenna Chandler Ward and Elizabeth Denevi, authors of Learning and Teaching While White, Anti-Racist Strategies for School Communities. This interview was originally recorded August 11th of 2022.